What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible! You're a loony. The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Michael J. This is the program Shell Games, normally hosted by myself and Scott Bennett, a brother in Christ, a brother at arms, champion, someone who's paid a price being thrown in federal prison by liars under the Barry Satoru regime with the help of Hillary Clinton and the nephew of Donna Shalala, who was the head of the Clinton Foundation, because he found out too much and was not going to go along with the program. His father was a Marine fighter pilot in Vietnam, and at a young age, Scott Allen Bennett found out what a warrior was. And so he's having a break today. He's having some family time. And I'm standing in the gap, standing a watchman on the wall right now. I want to thank Revolution Radio for this opportunity. I want to thank Revolution Radio for being a venue where people can share their perspectives. I know that Revolution Radio doesn't, you know, agree with everything that everybody says. But freedom is about having the ability to choose what you listen to, choose what you believe, and may God have mercy on people that believe lies, because that's not going to enable them to be set free. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in America today, but first, I want to encourage people that believe in prayer to join me. I'm going to approach the living God, because He revealed himself to me in 1968. That's, hey, 53 years ago next month. No, 52 years ago, sorry, next month. And so what an amazing time it's been since the living God got a hold of me and gave me a reality check and gave me a perspective that saw both time and my circumstances in a perspective that accommodates believing in eternity. Because eternity isn't something that people can lay hold of with respect to perceive, with respect to being able to understand. Eternity is outside of mankind's ability and perspective, and it's outside of time, actually. But I really believe in it, and so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Revolution Radio. Thank you for our producer, Mitchell Bupp. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this generation, Lord, because I want to declare before man and angels and devils that Jesus Christ is Lord. You raised him from the dead. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he has the keys to death and hell, which he took out of the hands of Satan after Satan, the devil, was convicted of murdering an innocent man. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ was an innocent man. He was the Lamb of God, and he was murdered by people being motivated by Satan. And because he was innocent, Satan could then be charged with murdering an innocent man. Though he had murdered billions of people, they had been given over to him by the first Adam's disobedience and rebellion against the living God. Sin came in at that moment, and mankind died. They spiritually died while we were in Adam. But Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam, and people that believe in him are experiencing, receiving eternal life in the last Adam, forgiveness for sins. The Spirit of God is quickening us and giving us the grace to receive what he is doing, what he is saying. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you minister to people by your Spirit, because the Lamb of God made a way when his blood was poured out that day on the cross, where some have uncovered evidence that that blood, when there was an angel, went down through the crack of Golgotha and actually landed on the mercy seat, which was hidden in a cave. Hidden there for hundreds of years, and it landed on the mercy seat, and people actually took dried blood and found out it was still alive. That blood that you said in Hebrews speaks better things than that of Abel, and that blood takes away the sins of those that believe. We're asking, Father, you have mercy on us, because today is a day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you want to hear God's voice, don't harden your heart today. Father, I pray, bless us and bless this program. Encourage us, because America is in the valley of decision. America has been weighed in the balance and found wanting in so many areas, and America is experiencing destruction, judgment, and we're seeing the first fruits of something that could be literally the end of this nation as we know it. I'm asking your help for us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a call-in program. Today, if you want to call in, the number is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I'll talk about anything. I'll ask you to keep your questions and comments brief. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. But this is a call-in program. This is about what we are experiencing as men and women in this generation and in a nation that has turned away from God. As I said, America is in the valley of decision for many areas of concern. America may be facing a horrific war with China. How many of us have heard that Taiwan just shot down a Chinese military aircraft? We have a defense treaty with Taiwan, and Taiwan just shot down a Chinese military aircraft. They are now on full alert concerning the possibility of an invasion, because the fearless leader of China, I forget his name, Xi, he is not doing well. China is being destroyed by earthquakes floods, landslides, torrential rains, typhoons. They've had plagues of locusts. They've had other kinds of, they've had tornadoes come in there. Millions and millions of Chinese right now are suffering. They don't have food. Their villages were intentionally destroyed by the Chinese government, destroying the dams that protected them so they could spare the larger cities, and their homes and everything in them are totally destroyed. Hundreds and thousands of cars have been swept away in the floods. Their lives are being destroyed. And this man, the head of the Communist Party, is looking for a major distraction to hold his nation together. And how many people know that options for sociopaths like that man in the Communist Party, options include killing a lot of people. That'll take people's mind off of other things, put them on a war footing. How many people would know America's on a war footing right now with the war on terror and war on what? The war on the American people. This government has been at war with the American people for many, many decades. Got a war on children, programming them in ways where they're not sure whether or not they're a boy or a girl anymore. A war on children where they're being threatened with terrible, terrible things because of their being taught how to be a good socialist, how to hate America. Where do you think Antifa came from? Where do you think Black Lives Matter came from? These people that are doing this, young people, were programmed for decades to be in the situation they're in right now. They're frustrated. They're disenfranchised. They're grieved. They come from broken families. They have rejected faith, and they're out here killing people that are Christian patriots in prayer groups, just shooting them in cold blood because they don't have a functioning conscience. That's what's going on. Do we have a justice system where sociopath governors are allowing tens of thousands of prisoners, including prisoners that are into rape and pedophilia and murder, to be out on the street? Oh, they pled them down from murder to, you know, manslaughter in the second degree, and giving them what? Giving them a card to get out of jail based on a fake pandemic? Is there anyone downrange? That's a military statement. Is there anyone downrange that sees what is going on in this nation and the fact that the foundations of righteousness and justice have been destroyed in this nation? We can't keep people in prison because the people that are running the show are going along with a fake pandemic and using that as an excuse to get maniacs and rapists and murderers out on the street. And they've been murdering again. Wow. This is my surprised look. 540-352-4452. America has turned away as a nation from the faith of Christ. After Vietnam, I wound up going to three different Bible colleges where I found out, and I was grieving because when Jesus got a hold of me in 68, I was a serious sinner, and the Lord turned me around. The Lord gave me grace. The Lord took away my sin. The Lord forgave me, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. I came back, went to a Bible college in January of 72, and found out, you know, almost wasting my GI Bill, I found out that many Christians in America are infected with something called Zionism. Many Christian Bible colleges in America are infected with something called professional religious businesses. A 501c3 not-for-profit religious corporation is what Christians have been persuaded means to, you have to have that in order to preach the gospel. And coincidentally, if you do it right, you can have a prosperous big box church. You can have a retirement fund. You can have all sorts of things. If, quote, you can persuade the people that them giving you their money is just the evidence of God's blessing on the life of the one who is telling you what you want to hear. A big box churchianity, hey, it's in a way it's been shut down partially. You know, people are forced to, hey, not listen to a sermon, not get entertained by some Christianized humanism on Sunday. But look, it hasn't changed America. America is still walking in humanism, in their own understanding, in sanctified selfishness, in a gospel of prospering because of the blessing of the Lord. This is not biblical. But there's a famine for the word of God. People are really not being taught the word of God. They're being taught churchianity. And if they're really being taught Christianity, they will object to people using their, quote, gifts and monetizing them and developing a franchise and merchandising their gifts and their, you know, little programs, when the Word of God makes it really clear that God is not about building big churches or temples. We understood that originally. The temple religion in Rome was about building big churches and whatever, but if you spoke against the Antichrist in the Vatican, they would cut off your nose, slit your tongue in half, throw you on the rack in an inquisition, call you a heretic, and burn you at the stake. So real Christians, pilgrims, real Christians came to America for religious freedom. Freedom of religion, by the way, never meant, oh yeah, let's invite the heathen in here, the Muslims. Let's invite the Buddhists and the Hindus. Let's invite all these people in here. Let's invite the Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, they were here already, right? They came out of Freemasonry, just like the Mormons came out of Freemasonry. Yes, that's the religion of Lucifer. The Freemasons infects the whole body politic in America. Find me a judge that isn't a Freemason. Well, he won't last long. Find me a police captain or the chief of police or a sheriff that's not a Freemason. Well, they won't last long. Why? Because the Freemasons are an infection of Luciferian Satan worship, and they're controlled by the people that developed all of their degrees. We're not talking about the Blue Lodge. We're talking about the degrees of the Illuminati Freemasons or the Scottish Rite Freemasons. They were developed by the Jesuits under the Antichrist Pope and the Black Pope. Why? Well, because Satan wants to destroy anything made in the image of God. He knows his time is short, and it's shorter today than it ever has been. He is enraged. And the demons that were released from the Nephilim seed line, they're enraged. There's billions of them. That's right. Before the flood, they were mating with women. And then they had their own family lines of Nephilim producing Nephilim. And when they died, when they physically died in the flood, or God destroyed them with great rocks hurled by angels down on them, read the book of Enoch. Listen to the book of Enoch on YouTube. You can listen to it. That's right. They did not go down into hell where men went. Those spirits were not spirits of men. They were not fallen angels. The fallen angels were placed in chains and under big rocks. Some people call that place the Tartarus. But the issue is they were placed, and they're still there. Those fallen angels that were having children by the daughters of men, they're under there. And they're not going to be released until the day of judgment, but there are plenty of demons, and their children are looking for hosts for these demons to inhabit. That's why they've had so many of these experiments going on in deep underground facilities. They're looking for being able to create entities that will house their disembodied spirits. All of this is part of the judgment that America is accommodating because America turned away from God. We removed the commandments of God. This nation does not know or walk in the fear of God. We have lost the fear of God in America. What does it mean? Well, if you don't fear God, you're not going to keep his commandments. You're going to consider, you know, like the word of God says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, I used to say that. I denied him. But it was an amazing thing when the God got a hold of me, when Almighty God tracked me down, when I was faced with these demonic entities trying to get me to destroy myself in October 1968. That the Lord sent angels and these angels were talking to me. And he revealed himself to me, and I asked Jesus into my heart. 7 October 1968, I confessed my sin, all of my immorality, my stealing, my witchcraft, all of it. And that day I received forgiveness. I was changed. I was changed, praise God. I became a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, and 19. Or 5:17, yeah. But anyway, I became a new creature. That day I was crucified with Christ, yet I lived, but it wasn't me who Christ, it was Christ who lived in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I found out that Jesus Christ was my Savior. And then he baptized me in the Holy Ghost a couple of weeks later. I began to pray in another language, a heavenly language. And when he let me go to Vietnam, I landed in Vietnam 2 years later in the infantry, but wound up first driving a tank and then went forward to a number of air mobile infantry units in the 23rd Division AmeriCal. I would be praying all the time under my breath in the spirit, and God saved my life many times, showing me where mines were and booby traps. He saved me from a panther. He saved me from a crocodile. He saved me from a snake next to my leg while I was sleeping with my captain's bayonet through its head, pinning it to the ground right next to my leg. Because the Lord was showing me, even when you're sleeping, Michael, I'm taking care of you. So God's been taking care of me and leading me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. The 23rd Psalm was my favorite psalm when I was riding in Huey helicopters, mission after mission after mission, going into some jungle LZ. We didn't know what was waiting for us, but I would be saying the 23rd Psalm with 40, 50, or 60 pounds on my back, you know, 120 degrees in the shade. I'd be saying the 23rd Psalm and praying for God's help. And he met me there, walked with me, flew with me, drove that tank with me, and gave me grace. That's my testimony. What's yours? How many people of God are understanding that the word of God says to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name? You see, a son of God is chastened, that is instructed, called higher, disciplined. Jesus had disciples. That means he disciplined them in the things of God. He led them in the paths of righteousness. He set the table before them in the presence of their enemies. Hey, the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. The Lord Jesus is the word of God made flesh that dwelt among us. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's right. The Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove and abode on him when he was baptized by John. And shortly after that, he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days because Jesus wanted people to know he didn't come in the power of his own strength. He also was led by the Spirit. He said, I only do those things I see my Father doing. He was led by the Spirit, and he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So he could show us. Wait, you believe in me, wait on God, seek him and ask him for the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, so he could guide you and lead you and anoint you and deliver you from evil. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus He blew my mind when I was in the jungle, and people in front of me would walk over a mine and not see it. But I would see it, and I would stop the column, and I'd say, look, what you just walked over. We would blow it in place and march on. But, you know, it left an impression on me. God is gracious. The truth of the destruction of this nation is being revealed to people, but they don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears that hear or hearts that understand. The fake pandemic is being used by liars to destroy millions of jobs, cause people to lose their homes, and impoverish millions of people, and it's being tolerated by a people who can't tell that they're being lied to, and if they figure it out, they're too cowardly to do anything about it. They're not organized, and they're not praying. They're not calling on the Lord, and if they are, they'll know that God is even now raising up a standard in America, because God's people are taught by the Holy Spirit how to pray. This thing must end, this plandemic, this fake thing. And why? Well, because the enemies of God have a plan. They've placed us under the threat of forced injections that will be releasing biological, chemical, and radiation warfare in our bodies. We're being set up so that they can destroy our lives by deception, by programs, acts of psychological and biological terror authorized at the highest levels of our government. This is Michael J. We'll be right back.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious that you're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
This is Michael J. again. Praise God. I've had years to develop my sense of perspective, being taught by the Holy Spirit about what God is allowing in a nation that legalized child sacrifice and called it a woman's choice. My body, my choice. That profound demonstration of hypocrisy, because they certainly didn't give their female or male children any choice, did they? They rejoiced when the so-called Supreme Court, a bunch of atheists and fools, said, well, it's not really a person. It's not really a child. Now we've got sociopath public serpents like Governor Northam over there in Virginia that say, well, you know, we can decide after this is born whether or not we're going to let it live or kill it. And if we let it live a little while longer to allow its organs to mature, we'll be able to get more money in the sale of its organs. China's been doing that and selling organs to people all over the world, many of them from America. I wonder how many hearts David Rockefeller received from China, you know, from good Christian or Uyghur people who didn't drink or smoke or do drugs, but they were executed so that they could have their hearts sold for a profit, major profit. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are really nothing with respect to being able to harvest at will the organs of people and sell them, because, and these people are what, political prisoners? They're not criminals. They don't want the hearts of people that were criminal and using drugs and whatever. No, they want the hearts of righteous people. We as a nation decided in the 70s to slaughter the evidence of our adulteries, our fornications, because it was not convenient. And the religion of selfishness, the religion of humanism, that is worshiping our humanity and considering mankind as the highest level of understanding, instead of considering the Lord, we lean on our own understanding, and we just vote. And something that has been seen throughout history, that is child sacrifice, is bringing terrible judgments from God. That's all of a sudden it's authorized because we voted or somebody else voted. And people that are willing to to get rid of that child because they don't have whatever it is that there was. And I don't know. Was it ever imparted to them? Were they ever taught how to fear God, how to value their own lives by their parents? Or maybe they were just watching their parents and their parents' selfishness and their parents' materialism, and they were never taught that they were made in the image of God. That's what I'd like to focus on today. We were talking about the forced injections. Because these are authorized at the highest levels of our government, it hangs over the heads of hundreds of millions of Americans and billions of others on the earth. Why? Well, because the agenda for the New World Order, a.k.a. noxious worldly odor, that stench of mass murder and genocide, it pretends to be, you know, the highest goal of a bunch of devil-worshipping sociopathic humanists. Yeah. You can be a humanist, I guess, and believe that you're worshiping Lucifer, Satan, is essentially your choice. Well, you know, in a way, it's your right. But you can't get there without experiencing God turning you over to that level of darkness, that level of delusion. God calls it a strong delusion. You can't worship Lucifer, Satan, in asking for power and whatever, and doing blood sacrifices and things like that. You can't do that unless you've already been turned over. And I don't know if God actually, God is sovereign in the salvation of men. Who he chooses to save. Yes, he will choose. He has chosen some people that were sucked into that and even partook as a child. They were trained to be a part of the slaughter of other children, and they were terrified into obedience under their MK Ultra programming. They were terrified with satanic ritual practiced on them by our military and our CIA. And you know, the FBI has for decades been pretending that they will investigate these kinds of things, but they only investigate it in order to give the criminals a heads up. And then if the witnesses persist, they'll just get rid of the people lodging the complaint. They'll just kill them. The FBI, the deep state, many, if not most or all of them, are involved in this Freemasonic cult of Satan worshipers and Lucifer worshipers, and they are doing, because they bind themselves with oaths, they're doing what their masters tell them to do. Why? Well, let's remember that God made man in the image of God. And God spoke everything that is existing today in the heavens and the earth and under the earth. Everything was spoken into existence out of nothing by his words. We were made in the image of God, and many people are invoking in their witchcraft, they're invoking certain things, evil things. They're invoking their riches, their favor, their power, whatever, because the demons that have been manipulating them, that have inhabited their flesh, the demons are actually promising them, yeah, you can have this, you can have that, but you belong to me. Once people believe that, once people give themselves over to evil, even in the lowest Masonic ranks, once they bind themselves by taking those oaths, their blood oaths, by the way, find out the internet is there. Cornucopia of information. Find out what the fourth degree Jesuit oath authorizes them to do. These people are the most wicked, pathetically disgusting people on the earth, because God has turned them over to believe a lie because they didn't love the truth. I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he first loved me. Those who love are of God because God is love. I love the Lord because he first loved me. He delivered me from evil. He is restoring my soul. He is helping me stand in the name of and authority of Jesus Christ to call people out of darkness into light. And if anybody that's hearing my voice is involved in this level of wickedness, I am saying to you in the name of Jesus, if you call on the Lord, even the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is encouraging you by my words, and I'm telling the truth before the living God, he came to save sinners and you qualify. It is written, for it will come to pass that all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. John the Baptist said way before the temple of Lucifer in Rome said, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If you allow Jesus to take away your sin, he will save you. The Word of God says, if any man sins, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can break the power of sin, the power of the law of sin and death off your life. He can deliver you from evil. With men, these things are impossible. But with our God, all things are possible. He can deliver people from evil. See, the Lord God is the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. I'm saying to you the Word of God in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free. He set me free. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he would do it for anyone. But the Word of God is really clear that we are all headed for eternity. We're all in this valley of the shadow of death, all of us. And we need the Lord Jesus to be our advocate before the Father, because we can't be saved by our own righteousness. A lot of Christians are being taught by religion on how to be good, quote unquote. Hey, you can't be good. Paul, the apostle, said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness. He's my holiness. He's my wisdom. He's my redemption. That is the purchase price of my soul is the Lord Jesus. He purchased me with his blood, and that blood speaks on my behalf before the throne of God right now. I'm saying these things because America is being weighed in the balance and found wanting. America is under judgment and being led by vicious people, enemies of God, enemies of godly people, enemies of righteousness and faith are marching in our streets, and atheist leaders allow these criminals to murder, to steal and destroy, to burn places down, to throw bombs at police, to shoot innocent people. These treasonous leaders must be held accountable for their rebellion, their negligence, and the damage they're allowing and they promote. But who will prosecute them? These prosecutors play the whore for people like George Soros or their Masonic masters. Who will prosecute them? And the bastard governors are letting criminals out of prison using a fake pandemic to justify protecting these poor criminals from a virus that's got a 99.9% survival rate. You disgusting bastards, the Lord rebuke you in your sin and your wickedness in Jesus' name. The foundations of righteousness and justice are being destroyed in America. And who is standing in the gap? Well, the King of Glory is. I mean, the issue is, I am fully persuaded that the angel of the Lord, these are eternal beings, continues to encamp around about me because I fear the Lord. But the Word of God says, he that, you know, the fear of man is a snare, but the Word of God also says the snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He that seeks to save his life will lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake will find it. I found my life in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He said to Nicodemus, who I believe came to Christ, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord said, nobody can come to God but by me. That's right. People just can't decide one day, oh, I'm gonna come to God before I die. I thought that as a child. I was 16 years old. The Lord allowed me to go run away to Florida. And I ran away to Florida, got picked up by a drunk, and he rolled the car 4 times, end over end, down a Florida highway, and I got thrown out into the grass divider in the middle of the highway. Found out from people in a, like a Greyhound bus, but it was the other one, the other company, not Greyhound. And they told me, because I landed in the grass divider, they told me that they saw the car flip end over end 4 times. And I realized afterwards, I forgot to think about God. I forgot. My parents were praying and God got me home. Hallelujah. After I got thrown in jail for vagrancy down in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale is a pit from hell, by the way. But God got me home. But it wasn't until 6 years later that God got a hold of me after I had done a whole lot more damage in my life and to other people, my selfishness, my immorality. But God, for some reason, and he's going to show me, I think, in eternity, why he revealed himself to me. I can understand the how he was having people pray for me. I just don't know why, because he's sovereign in who he chooses. From before the foundation of the world, he is sovereign in choosing those that he's going to give eternal life and forgiveness for sin. But he did it. He had mercy on me. So right now, I want people to consider this. You were made in the image of God, and God completes that image and conforms you to that image when you are born again. You must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. We're all born in the first Adam, but we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We need to be born again in the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead. He's the Lamb of God, who paid for my sin and yours on the cross, because the word of God says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. What happens when a man is hanging on a tree? Sin and curse comes on him from God. That's just the way it is. I don't understand it. So Jesus was made sin, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Mitchell, if you're there, please invite people to call in and give them the number. I'm going to take a drink of water.
All right, buddy. Hey, give us a call, 540-352-452. And topic of your choice, Michael J. will take on any question.
Hallelujah.
Give you the straight truth. You may not like it.
To me, amen.
Be the straight truth.
I believe in the infinite value of a soul, Mitchell. I believe that if God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, you know, to die for me, to take my sin on himself, that's the value that God places on my soul. It wasn't because I was a nice guy, because there's no good in man. There are no good men. I don't, you know, even Marines, they're looking for good men. Well, you know, you can find a natural man that's got a lot of talent, a lot of grace, a lot of courage, but it doesn't mean in the eyes of God, he is good, because in Adam, in the first Adam, There is no good thing in us. We were born in sin. We're born spiritually dead. Goodness, righteousness is what God adds to us through our faith in Christ. He allows faith to appropriate Jesus' righteousness so I can stand before God and be bold in coming into his presence because of the blood of the Lamb. That's the measure of God's grace in my life. I am able to approach him through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not because I'm a nice guy, not because of my race, not because of my religion. I don't have a religion. I have a Savior. Not because of my religion. We come to God because the gospel, that is the good news I've been giving people about Jesus Christ and his paying for our sin, that is the power of God. My sharing this truth with you is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. I'm testifying to that because God has done amazing things in my life. He's continuing to restore my soul. I mean, how can we really measure how can we understand what it means to be a child of God until we receive the gift of God that takes away our blindness, our spiritual blindness, our lack of understanding? It takes away our ungodly fears, our unbelief. It heals our souls from the tendency that we have to lie, to lust, to steal, to fornicate, to whatever. He deals with that old nature because of what happened in Christ on the cross. And he allows us to identify with him in death and burial and resurrection by being baptized, a.k.a. immersed in water. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. If people are struggling because they were told they were sprinkled when they were a child, well, that's not baptism. It could be a dedication, but no. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. That's the way I understand it. And the issue is, do you have to be baptized to be saved? No, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, but he was saved, one of them. He had faith, but he didn't need to be baptized into the death of Christ. He was dying himself. And he heard the word of the Lord, the words of Jesus Christ, saying to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. The Lord ministered to him and imparted eternal life to him because he had faith. Well, the just shall live by faith. Abraham is the father of all of those who have faith. Faith in God through Jesus Christ. Like the Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Well, when? Well, Jesus, before he was born as a baby, he appeared on the earth a number of times. He was there letting Abraham know that his wife was going to have a child. He was there when Abraham was praying about whether or not he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there as the Lord of hosts when Joshua was standing outside the walls of Jericho. The Lord of hosts was there. You can find out who the Lord of hosts was by reading Psalm 24. Psalm 24 revealed that the Son of God is the Lord of hosts, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So the issue is, no man has seen God at any time. That's the Father, except the one who came down from heaven. But when we look on Jesus, the Word of God says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So when the Lord called me, he took this long-haired hippie freak basket case, crazy because of the LSD and stuff that I had been doing, and he gave me a new life, and he started healing my soul and my spirit. But when I was in Vietnam 2 years later, I was still kind of crazy. I mean, really. And God was there for me. His grace is sufficient. He got me through it. He gave me grace. And I was telling everybody, by the way, about Jesus. Why? Well, I served in four different units, and all the people that I did get to meet and whatever that died, they were killed either by a typhoon or by landmines and booby traps. The Lord, the war was winding down in 70 and 71, and the Viet Cong and the NVA, for the most part, knew better than to attack even the small unit out in the jungle, because we had radios. We call in gunships, ships, artillery, call in Cobra helicopters. We could call in F-4s if we needed to, and we could rain hell on people around us. So the issue is, right now, thank you, Mitchell, right now in life, where the Word of God says, while we're in life, there is hope. In life, there is hope. I'm encouraging people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know when your life could come to an end. God is sovereign. And the Lord is the only one that can know our hearts. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't put our trust in men or the sons of men or leaders. We have to put our trust in God, and we're praying for America. We'll be right back.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
This is Michael J. in the second hour of Shell Games. Our brother Scott Bennett is taking a break, and God is good. He's going to have a few days, a holiday, and he'll probably be back next Wednesday. My name is Michael J. I'm a Vietnam veteran, a Christian. As I said earlier, I went to three different Bible colleges. I got a degree, but what I found out was that religion is used to perpetuate a system, a form of godliness. Religion, you know, Christian religion, whatever, it perpetuates a system, but it's not the evidence of God's salvation. The Word of God says about a pure religion in James, who was a half-brother to the Lord Jesus, they shared the same mother. The pure religion and undefiled is this: take care of widows and orphans in their afflictions, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is about being holy, for the Lord is holy. Pure religion is about being changed by God. Because we get to glimpse, if we're born again with spiritual eyes, we begin to look at God. With spiritual ears, we begin to hear him, and we get changed. Because your old nature can't remain. It can't continue to be a dominating part of your personality, because the Lord gives us the grace to receive conviction by the Holy Spirit. We're convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That is, includes our unbelief, our anger, our fear, our rebellion, our sorcery, that is using drugs. We can confess these things and he will forgive us and cleanse us from the power of sin. This is what God does. He's a savior. He came to save sinners. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a close encounter with God and he got changed. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. As I was saying before, this was not the Father. This was the Lord Jesus Christ before he took on flesh. And the Word of God says in verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Remember, Psalm 24 revealed who the Lord of hosts is, the Lord Jesus. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. What happened there? Well, Isaiah confessed his sin. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord removed men far away, there, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. In America, right now, there is a remnant of godly people. They're not listening to witches. They're not saying, oh, I want to go to a seance. They're not listening to the gospel of prosperity. They're walking in fear and trembling before the living God because they see what is about to come on this nation. The word of God says in Galatians, the letter to Galatians, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, there's two places of reaping, aren't there? We can reap in time, and many people sow, and they reap in this life what they've been sowing. But then there's eternity. If you're not sowing in righteousness and reaping in mercy, if you're not sowing in faith, what are you sowing? In selfishness, serving yourself instead of God, which is idolatry? You are not walking in the fear of God. You are not humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You are actually not able to hear that you are in terrible, terrible danger. The Word of God says that spiritual things are only perceived by spiritual people. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there are now thousands of people in the different streets in America. And they're walking around stealing, destroying, burning. Why? Because America has been stealing, destroying, and burning in other nations in the world for decades. See, I've been willing to cut Mr. Trump a lot of slack because hope abides. I want to hope in the one who is able to give Donald Trump repentance. But will he? Will Donald Trump be turned by God? See, that's about God's sovereignty, isn't it? God could allow Donald Trump to be in a position where this whole thing that he's doing, this whole phenomena of the Q and all these sealed indictments and all that, and all this dialectical battle between him and the leftists, by the way, this has been going on for centuries. The dialectic was, you know, maybe defined and more easily understood through the Hegelian demonstration of thesis, antithesis, synthesis. But it had been used against other nations by the people that have power in the earth, demonized families that control Rome, and they're involved with the Zionism. You see, there's a lot of the Talmud that came out of Babylon in Lucifer worship in the Vatican. That includes the training that Jesuits go through. And I'm not saying all Jesuits are like this, but I'm talking about the hardcore Jesuits that agree to murder for the Pope. They agree to murder because they believe they're given authority by the vicar, that is the vicarious Christ, the one who stands in the presence of the temple of living stones, that is believers, and shows himself to be God. The spirit of Antichrist has always been evident in Rome for people that can discern. What are we dealing with? Well, Mr. Trump has not exposed who did 9/11. He has not been placing under sanctions the most corrupt, hate-filled cult of sociopathic Antichrist monsters this world has ever seen that call themselves the chosen people of God. You know, those organ-harvesting sociopaths that murder Palestinians and steal the bodies of their children and give the bodies back. Well, they used to. Now they never get the bodies back because people got upset when all their organs were gone when they got their bodies back. They're the most hyper-racist cult of mass murdering Satan worshipers in the history of the world, and they call themselves God's chosen people, and they want to place all the earth under the Noahide law system. This is what their doctrines are saying. This is not, you know, people pulling this out of some kind of mythical hat and saying, oh yeah, you know, this is what I think. No. They have let people know what they think. Jared Kushner is a part of this. Trump was given honors by the people that are planning this. And when he was moving our embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. So he's not exposing Israeli involvement in 9/11. He's not exposing the people in Saudi Arabia that were involved in it. He's not exposing our generals, you know, Colin Powell and all these generals in the American government that were a part of 9/11, Dick Myers, and all those politicians that were involved in that, including George Bush Jr. These people all deserve to be executed. They're not in prison, are they? They haven't been executed, are they? Dick Cheney. So because he's not doing this, it doesn't really matter what he is doing if he's covering up for these monsters. Well, doesn't he have 17 intel agencies? If I can figure this out from reports from, you know, other people about the impossibility of those buildings being turned into dust, jet fuel can't turn steel and millions of tons of concrete and aluminum and copper into dust. Do we have a guest? Hello? Nobody's talking to me, so whoever just called in. Hi.
Greenheart is here.
Well, hi, Chris. Hi, Michael J.
Hi, who are we talking to now?
Chris from Vermont. I called in a few months ago.
Hi, Chris from Vermont. How's the maple syrup up there, man?
Maple syrup is wonderful. God made me sweet, so I got to take easy on that stuff.
God is good. The issue is maple syrup pancakes with real butter. Oh, my goodness. Praise God.
That's about as good as it gets right there, my brother.
I agree. So what's going on, man?
Okay, so I called in a few months ago, and we prayed because I had fallen in love with this woman who I had felt for her the second I saw her, and she caused me nothing but misery for over a year, and I just didn't understand. And so, you know, I guess if the angels wanted me to meet her, I must have learned, you know, they must have had different lessons in mind than what I thought maybe I was meeting her for. And so I learned all kinds of things, you know, about being deceived and about how I can be misled and how I need to find my own inner strength and stuff like that. So my question
Well, you know, brother, the angels actually were seduced by the beauty of women, and see what happened there, okay?
Yes.
So what's your question, brother?
You know, I almost feel like maybe is it okay to pray for her, or even go so far as to pray for any potential negative entities and energies that may be in her being for the Christ Yahshua Messiah to remove them? Do you think that's okay to do in your book, or is that asking for trouble?
Well, the issue is the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray, there's with groans and things like that. But also, I would encourage you to look at the Book of Acts and determine from the Book of Acts, because God hasn't changed, or Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've been, if God will show you what the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, when I'm praying, like I said earlier, when I'm praying in my heavenly language, you know, the Holy Spirit's praying through me, but I lack understanding because I'm speaking mysteries to God. But the issue is, you can and will experience the power of God in your life if you're praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. But concerning this woman, let me ask you a question, brother. What did Adam, that is the first Adam, do to get a wife?
He had to give part of himself, and she was made.
No.
It ripped?
Well, the issue is this. What he did was he fell asleep because God caused a deep sleep to put he knocked him out. And then when he woke up, there was Eve. Now, look, I mean, what did Adam actually do? He didn't give his rib.
He didn't do anything.
That's right. That's right. He didn't even put himself to sleep. The Lord did it, because the Lord said, you know, let us make man. And he said, after Adam had named all the animals, they said, well, he hasn't found one that's compatible, you know, that could really help him. None of these could be really helping him. So then then they decided to give him a wife. So they put him to sleep. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit put Adam to sleep took that rib out and created Eve. So he said, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But he didn't do anything to receive, to get for himself a wife, right? Now, after that, you know, men would take wives, right? They would take wives. But what does that mean? Well, you know, that's a whole history lesson. But the issue is, in today's culture, you know, you can be wonderfully attracted because women are like that. God made them that way. But the issue is, God is the one that adds a woman to you in the things of the spirit. That is, you know, you can be seduced into being unequally yoked. And a friend of mine is going through something like that because he married a beautiful woman. But she's dead inside, spiritually dead. And so what agreement has light and darkness? What agreement does life have with death? So the issue is praying for her. It's like, Lord, I just give her to you. Lord, just have your way in her life, your perfect will in her life. But right now, Lord, you are the one that you say, my God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians. And you need to pray for God's will in your life, because he doesn't have a problem giving us what he wants us to have, okay? He doesn't have a problem doing that, except that he kind of has to work on us to be able to receive it. Like, in some ways, there's more blessing in my life than there has been in the past, because the word of God says, given it shall be given. So if you're sowing in the right way, you can begin to reap, because that's a universal law, sowing and reaping, caring for others, and you'll experience their care for you, things like that. And so the issue is, God has to prepare us to receive it, but it's not about so much about desire, because that's mostly the flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're praying for God's will. And if I were you, I would pray that whoever God is choosing for you, I'd be praying right now that he'd be preparing you for her and be preparing her for you. But leave it in God's hands.
Yes. So really nothing has changed. A person just needs to do what they need to do and pray for God's Holy Spirit to come into our life, and all that other stuff that is out of our control is going to work itself out, and we just need to be focused on the here and now and what needs to be done.
Yeah, what the Word of God says is that He is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when we're praying for God's will in the earth as it is in heaven and His kingdom, we're praying, we also pray that in our lives, your will be done. And then we can rest in the Lord and give thanks in that we don't have to make it happen. The Word of God says, labor therefore to enter into His rest and cease from our own works. You know what I mean?
Yes. Now, if there was some type of possible sorcery that brought this woman into my life, because I dreamed about her before I met her, and then when I met her three times over the course of a year, and when I finally got her phone number on that third time, as soon as I started talking to her, the night of my birthday, the night before my birthday, I had this vision where these two shamans were in my room singing these songs, giving me this vision, this long, 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 long vision, and it sort of seemed to command me to love her no matter what. So I'm thinking, if this woman betrayed me and treated me very badly, could it possibly be that regardless of the sorcery and these gentlemen from South America, who are these medicine men, who had met one of them, and that was why they knew how to find me, because I had talked to him 6 years earlier on my birthday, exactly 6 years later, and she had drank the tea with them in the late 80s. So this, you know, this jungle plant spirit knew her, she knew me, and I think she put us together. And is it possible that God wanted me to learn the lesson of love and compassion and forgiveness, even for someone who would abuse me and take advantage of me?
Well, brother, you just revealed,
I don't do that anymore, but I drank that tea a long time ago.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, the issue is, it's for me, the fact that you're asking this question reveals that you still need to ask God for understanding, because you were definitely brought into this by witchcraft. You were definitely injured by witchcraft, and it's still having a major impact and control of your life, because you're still experiencing kind of a demonic obsession for it. So yes, you have been deceived, but the issue is, where is God telling you to, you know, confess, as far as getting understanding about renouncing any and every, you know, thing that you did concerning these medicine men, shamans, warlocks, whatever. All of this seems totally to be witchcraft, and she was involved in it too. So the issue is, if I were you, I'd put the blood of Jesus over all of them, put the blood of Jesus over yourself, because this is part of our priesthood. The blood of Jesus is there for us to say, you know, we are placing this under the blood, because the blood is advocating for us. It's speaking better things than the blood of Abel. So we're able to put the blood of Jesus over all our circumstances, over all the people, over all of our sin, confess our sin, our seeking, occult power and whatever, occult favor. And, you know, you need to renounce all these things and ask God to put the blood of Jesus between you and her, and a holy fire of the angel of the Lord to put a hedge of protection around you and to deliver you from this saga of evil. But personally, brother, I wouldn't have anything to do with this woman. You're not in control of this situation, and demonic power was definitely evident in this whole season in your life. So the Lord, ask the Lord to deliver you from evil and don't lead you again into temptation.
Well, there was a slight miracle, John, Michael J. She suckered me into being her client for her pseudo-psychiatry life coaching, and she made me pay up front for services, which then never manifested. She just gave me my money back after I called her a liar and a narcissist. So I got a check in the mail for thousands of dollars. And that was a very rare victory.
Well, did you cash it yet?
Yeah, it's in the bank.
Okay, good. Well, look, all I'm saying is, God, I believe you should have a godly counselor, you know, personally. You should have a counselor, not a life coach, but someone who is a servant of God. And, you know, with respect to a servant of God, this is never about money.
Right.
It's not about money. So all I'm trying to say is you should seek God and get in a prayer agreement with a godly brother in Christ and pray for his will, God's will in your life, God's will in her life, whatever. But the issue is the both of you have been, you know, touched by evil. And, you know, pray for God's will in your life, because that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Who knows what God will do? But with God, all things are possible. I think we've got the music. So if you want to hang on the line, you can. But we'll be right back. This is Michael J. on Shell Games.
Thank you, Michael J.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, God is good. yeah, this is a spiritual world, and there are deceiving spirits, lying spirits, spirits of covetousness, spirits of envy, and spirits of violence. All of us are subject to this kind of attack. I mean, when people are called out of darkness into light and made a new creation, they represent a serious threat to the kingdom of darkness, because these are the people that actually have come out of darkness and can see the truth. Their testimony is very powerful. The Word of God says, and I know there's someone on the line, but I'll be with you in a minute. The Word of God says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, the power of life and death is in the tongue. What we say, if we take oaths, this is a very powerful thing. I before I understood a lot of these things, I was drafted. I was number 16 in the lottery. I was asked to raise, well, I didn't know it was a request, but I was told to raise my hand and repeat after me, the guy said, and I took this oath about defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And what happened was, on the strength of that oath, I saw people around me die, because we had, without understanding what was going on, we had been placed under something called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. We just agreed to obey those officers. Well, the Masons agree to obey their masters in all these, through these different degrees. And these masters, so-called, the highest levels, are Luciferians. They declared that Lucifer is the good God and Adonai is the evil God. Well, that's because they've been given over to believe lies, but the power of life and death is in the tongue. Mitchell, who's on the line? Mitchell?
I'm still here. It's Chris from Vermont, Michael J.
Oh, okay. I saw you dropped off, so you called back again. Well, Chris, what would you like to talk about now?
Okay, thank you so much, and I'm going to keep it brief. I was wondering if you had ever heard of this prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy as revealed by the Yahshua Messiah to St. Maria Faustina Kowalski. I believe she was a nun in Poland in the 19th century.
I may have. Why do you ask, brother?
Well, he instructed her to say it. What the prayer is you use the rosaries and you say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Instead of
Hold on a second. The issue is, look, prayer beads are found in multiple religions, okay? There is nothing really justifying saying the same prayer again and again, quote, like the Lord said, as the heathen do, to get your prayer answered, to get your voice heard. We're brought into the presence by the grace of God, in that he gives us the grace to pray in faith. That is, you can't pray and be double-minded and get anything from God. You have to pray in faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So my prayer life was changed when I started sowing the word of God into my soul. I would stand before God. I had a mantelpiece above the fireplace. I placed the Bible on there, and I would sing the Psalms out loud. And I did that for weeks, because I was afflicted at the time for a number of reasons. And I was seeking God, and the Lord met me. When I started worshiping, singing the Psalms, clapping my hands like the Psalms said, shouting unto God with a voice of triumph, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost in these unknown tongues, the Lord started moving in my life, and that was an amazing time of answered prayer. All sorts of things started happening because I was spending time with God. It's not about a prayer that somebody received and you know, a habit of using beads, you know, to say the same thing over and over again. That's not from the Lord. Doesn't mean God won't hear people when they're doing what they, the only thing they know to do, but it's still, it's not what the Bible says about prayer. The Bible said, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. It says nothing about prayer beads or the rosary or Mary or anything like that. It says we come boldly before the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what adds value, righteousness, and efficacy. We're coming to him because of the blood. We're having faith because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And he's giving us faith when we're exercised in the word of God. He sows the seeds, the incorruptible seeds of the word of God in our hearts when we are spending time with him and worshiping through the word of God. So I would encourage you, read the Psalms out loud before God, and God will show you how to pray. Read the Proverbs out loud before God, and God will give you wisdom and understanding. One of my favorite Psalms in the Word of God happens to be the longest chapter in the Bible. It's called Psalm 119. It's in the middle of the Old and New Testament. Psalm 119, you start saying that thing out loud, and I guarantee you, if you're speaking the Word of God with faith, not like an intellectual exercise, but in faith, believing what the Word of God is saying, and God is the one that gives you the faith to believe. When you start saying that psalm out loud, I guarantee your life will change.
Hallelujah. I will look it up as soon as I get off the phone, Michael. Can I say a short prayer before I hang up now? Or we pray together?
Sure. You want to pray? Go right ahead.
I pray to the Father Almighty, God Almighty, one infinite creator, the supreme intelligence and mysterious wellspring of all life, who sent his beloved Son, the Christ, Yahshua ben Yosef of Nazareth, the Messiah, who absorbed the sins of the world and endured torture and crucifixion so that all of humanity may be redeemed. I thank you, one infinite creator, for all of our blessings, and I thank you for this wonderful communion and camaraderie with Revolution Radio, founded by our dear and beloved departed friend, Michael Ringley. I pray for the highest and best good of all of Revolution Radio, the presenters and speakers, the producers, the listeners, the chatters, and all of those concerned. And I pray that as long as Revolution Radio is helping to bring the word of truth and freedom of thought to the world, I pray that it will continue to prosper and grow. And I pray for the highest and best good of our dear friend, Michael J., who brings the truth as he sees it to the airwaves three times a week. And I thank you for all that you do for us. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Take care.
See you next time. Thanks again, sir.
All right.
And I'll go with Psalm 119.
That's right, brother. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, praise God. Good prayer. It's about communication, isn't it? When we want to grow in grace in our friendships with others, we communicate. We speak words of love. We speak healing if that's what is needed. We speak encouragement. We speak things that are convenient, things that are about God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God being the source. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Mitchell, are you there? And is there something you'd like to share today?
No, there really isn't, Mike. I had stepped away for a second, was getting ready to eat supper.
Yeah, that's what happens. You're 3 hours ahead of me, man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Whether you're going to be eating or listening or whatever, I'm going to read right now a poem that you really like called Forgiveness. And then, you know, it maybe we'll have another call. I'm not sure, you know, how much time we have, but I'm going to read this poem and then go on with my exhortations because God is good. So thanks, Mitchell. This is a poem God gave me in 2014 because he has been working the word of God into my heart and giving me the grace to worship and to humble myself under his mighty hand. By God's grace, we are who we are, and everybody is different. Everybody is infinitely unique. In that term being infinitely unique, that's part of the characteristic of a being created in the image of God and being restored to that image through faith in Christ. Now, everyone, by God's grace, those that are still in darkness and those that are in the light, everyone has this dynamic, Lord, give me the words, and this dynamic impetus at work in them. Either they're following after the flesh, which brings them into greater and greater spiritual, emotional, psychological, and even physical death, or they're following after the Spirit, led by the Spirit, which is encouraging us in that it opens our hearts to receive wonderful graces in God. But whatever is going on, we as people in the image of God might get a glimpse of an infinite capacity, either for good or for evil. Some people have done so much evil, you know, as vessels of wrath being prepared for destruction. They have filled their cup because God had ordained that they be destroyed forever and ever. And that means experiencing horrific destruction throughout eternity. Paul the Apostle said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That is, you do not want to enter eternity without the Savior. If you don't have him, the weight of his righteousness on your sides of the scales, you will be weighed in the balance and found eternally and infinitely wanting. And God, because he's Almighty God, he can do what he wants with those he creates. And he knew in his sovereignty and his knowledge, he knew that Adam, the first Adam, would fall. That's why the word of God says that Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He had ordained that Jesus would pay that horrific price even before the world was created. Here's this poem, Forgiveness. The Savior chose to clothe himself with human weakness and to identify himself with the wounds and griefs of men. He chose to know the horror that the curse of sin invests when he let the wicked kill him on the cross and make him sin. They looked on him whom they had pierced, and the outpouring and the blood and water flowing had paid the price of sin. When the innocent for guilty men had taken death and sin within, the Lamb of God upon that cross had cried that it is finished. Almighty God now heard that voice of holy blood declaring that the veil of holy flesh was rent and the way to God unveiling. That blood cry out triumphant that all sin could be forgiven and reconciling had been wrought in what the Son of God had given. The creation quaked and graves were opened and saints appeared to men. The holy angels now prevailed where the curse of the law was broken. And the crucified lamb went down to hell to proclaim the Lord's salvation. The price of redemption had been paid, the accuser dethroned and broken. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life for ruined, broken men was given. So in looking at the empty cross, we behold the price of heaven. And the Son of God in victory over death and hell has risen and given to men the hope and faith to believe that they are forgiven. If we hear his voice and believe the words that the Spirit of God has given, then we know that the gift of godly love was the Lamb of God who has risen. And his Spirit was sent into the hearts of men to declare that God has forgiven all those that believe that Jesus prevailed to bring God's children into heaven. Amen. The Lord gave that to me because he works in those whose hearts he allows to be broken. And he did allow my heart to be broken in many, many ways. Because brokenness is what God requires. Like he said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. Excuse me, except a wheat fall into the ground, yes, it abides alone. Why? Well, because when it falls into the ground and dies, it splits open and what's inside comes out. And when the woman who was going to help the Lord Jesus prepare for his burial broke the alabaster box filled with a precious ointment and anointed him with that oil for his burial, the word of God reveals that that alabaster box that represented her brokenness, that what God purchased within her, her soul and spirit, in giving her forgiveness and eternal life, that she was broken so that this alabaster box filled with ointment was an expression of that kind of brokenness, that what comes out can't be released until that box is broken. And when a flower, a rose, is crushed, then the fragrance is released. So God gives us the grace to receive brokenness. He gives us the grace to say, like the Lord said before us, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So we can pray, Lord, not my will in my life, but your will be done. And this will give us the grace we need. It will afford us the grace we need to trust him, because we are spending time in the presence of God, our Savior, our Heavenly Father, who purchased us with the blood of his Son. And here's a verse that I'd like to leave us with. The Word of God says, seeing that God already gave us his Son, what will he withhold from us? So I'm going to let go of this train of thought, and I want to tell people about another gift God gave me. It's called the Giving Machine. And the Lord showed me some about almost a year and a half ago. He showed me, I want you to give this design away. The Giving Machine is a design God gave me when I first began to see and understand what he had given me. I called it the Hi-Ho W3IM, or the Harnessed Inertia High Output Wheels Within Wheels Infinity Motor, because the Lord showed me how to harness inertia in two directions at the same time. A friend of mine, I'm going to describe this to you right now, but a friend of mine asked me to help him install a small merry-go-round in his backyard. This merry-go-round had been built by somebody. It was made out of steel with, you know, in the shape of an octagon, and it had a central rail coming up and six or eight different, you know, steel pipes that were formed and they were straight until they got to the curves, and then they came up straight from the outside of the frame on the eight points of that like octagon thing, and they went across the top, and then they bent down and joined this metal pipe and were all welded together, and there were pieces of wood between the spaces in the octagon, and the metal pipe was then sunk into another slightly larger metal pipe, you know, where you'd put some grease in there and drop this other pipe right into it because it was kind of a tight fit. And then the thing was settled in there because this other pipe that had been placed in the hole had been placed in cement. So it wasn't going anywhere, but this thing was about maybe 300 to 400 pounds. It was good size, maybe 8 feet across. And so once you got that in there, then you could grab this thing by one of the railings that came out, and you got it going because it was pretty hefty. You had to use some strength to get it going. But once it was going, all you had to do was tap it just to keep it going. Why? Well, because the first law of inertia is what's in motion tends to stay in motion, and what's at rest tends to stay at rest. So the Lord gave me a design that allowed me to get every part of this generator moving, except for the frame, of course. And the frame was what suspended, what held up the different axles or shafts, okay? The frame was there. And so if you can picture in the middle of this frame two flywheels, and these flywheels can be truck tires filled with water. And attached to these truck tires in different ways, these truck tires are on a single axle, and one truck tire, and these truck tires are designed to go in opposite directions. They're on bearings, okay? And attached to these truck tires are large discs that go out maybe a foot or 2 feet farther out in diameter than the truck tires. And in the edge of these large discs that overlap one another are two linear drive motors. Now, if you fill the truck tires with water, let's say they each weigh 300 pounds, fill them with water, and you use these linear motors that are far out on these larger discs to motivate each other, then every time one linear motor fires, it pushes the opposite truck tire in one direction, but at the same time, it pushes itself in the direction it's already going. Now, when these things are fired by what's called brushless induction and a whole bank of capacitors that will fire in a series to keep these things going and then be recharged immediately. These truck tires are moving in opposite directions. And let's get something straight here. If you have 600 pounds of truck tire and water and steel going in opposite directions at 1,000 RPM, their relative speed is 2,000 RPM. So what kind of torque does 600 pounds of water and steel moving at 2,000 relative speed RPM. What kind of torque does that have? Well, let's attach some sprockets to the outside of these truck tires, and sprockets with a chain or sprockets with a Kevlar belt going to generators on both sides of these truck tires out in the frames. Only one side of the generator, you've got a large sprocket or flywheel or pulley going attached to the rotor shaft, and the other sprocket is attached to the stator housing. So one tire is moving the stator housing in the opposite direction of the other tire that's moving the rotor shaft. So inside that generator, and both sections are moving, by the way, you've got the added, let's say the generators each way 100 pounds. So there's two generators. So now you've got 800 pounds of mass moving at relative speed 2,000 RPM. How much torque is that generating? Now, the issue is you're pulling the energy out of these generators with, again, brushless induction, carrying it over to a battery, to an inverter, and starting to convert, you know, all that generated energy in those moving bidirectional generators into energy. And it's charging the batteries. And the battery is instantly charging with a solid state. We don't want anything subject to EMP here. But a solid state, controller charging all the capacitors and the battery and whatever, and you've got something where you hook that up, inverter, and the faster this thing, this generator moves, the faster these wheels are moving, the less energy it keeps. It needs to keep it moving, and that is why God let me call this, instead of the Hi-Ho W3IM, he let me call it the giving machine. And I'm giving this away to everybody and anybody because, hey, it's green energy, it's energy independence, and here's my tongue-in-cheek joke for the masses. Who could be against such a thing? Right? God gave me this machine to give it to the world. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's power some villages in the jungles. Let's give them free power to purify their water and set up electric fences and set up bug zappers to protect them from those mosquitoes. Let's help our neighbor. Let's build these machines. Nobody can get a patent on it. Why? Because I gave it away and revealed it to the public. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on America and Mr. Trump. In Jesus' name, we'll talk to you later. I'll see you on Sunday, 6 a.m. Pacific time on Studio A. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.